Happy New Year. Yes, Happy New Year, chums. I hope you had a fab holiday season and are now adjusting to the return to normal life as well as you can. But if not, hey, if your heart is aching for just a little bit more of the festive season, then hurrah! Here I am with the last remaining episodes of Yule Among the Sleepless to keep that holiday spirit alive for just a little bit longer than perhaps you want it to be. Anyway, so let's get back to it then, shall we? Remember how, in our previous episode, Wayne ran into Lucy in the video shop where he now works, and as a result of that meeting, he did the ring round to the surviving members of the cast of One Among the Sleepless in order to bring them all together for a survivors meeting. He lied to them, of course, about having nightmares about Adam, a.k.a. Dusty, a.k.a. Brian McBride, and he wants to use the meeting as a means of renewing his relationship with Lucy. This episode doesn't take place on the night of the meeting. Oh no. This episode takes place shortly after Wayne has done his little ring around to all of his old chums. It twas the night before the meeting, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Well, that's not quite true, actually. Yule Among the Sleepless, a podcast mini-series by Mike Bennett. This podcast is intended for an adult audience. It contains adult situations and really rather rude words. Episode 4. 6. Wayne jolted out of the nightmare with a body spasm so great that one of his wax earplugs popped out. It took him a moment to get his bearings. The room was dark, but the cocoon of warmth around him told him he was lying in his bed. Relief flooded him, and he groped for the bedside lamp. He turned it on and glanced quickly around the small box room to make sure no residue of his dream had followed him into reality. Reassured, he fell back down and pulled the covers up to his chin. Then he noticed the music. He hadn't noticed it at first because he'd been so distracted by his fear. But now, as if seeking to confirm it, he pulled out his other earplug and listened. The music was rising up through the floor from the living room below. The hum of the bass line and thudding of the drums, muffled by the floorboards and cheap carpet of his rented room. He recognised the sound immediately as being that of 70s prog rock band, Yes. Wayne had spent most of his life oblivious to the existence of Yes, but since moving into this house, he had, through what seemed almost nightly encounters like this, become well acquainted with their direful din. Whether it actually was a direful din or not was a moot point. Wayne had never actually listened to it so much as he had been assaulted by it, courtesy of his shithead housemates. He thrust a leg out from under the covers and stamped his foot hard on the floor. A second later, he heard laughter from below. Is this what his suffering was to them? A joke? He waited for the volume to drop, but it didn't. Maybe they weren't laughing at him. Maybe they hadn't heard him. They could have been in the middle of a joke and the punchline had coincided with his stamping. So he stamped again.
All right, Mavis, keep your ear on,
one of them shouted up through the floor. Mavis, that was their name for him, taken from Coronation Street's repressed and moralising old biddy, Mavis Wilton. They only ever used the name to his face when they were together, drunk, stoned, back from the pub and full of the joys of selfishness, as they were now. But whenever they encountered him one-to-one in the cold light of day, they were as nice as pie. Earlier that evening, Wayne had described his current living arrangements to Lucy as a crazy bachelor pad existence. In reality, the only craziness was that which he felt at having to live here with them. And it was all his own fault. That was the worst part of it. As so often happened at times like this, his thoughts returned to Ellen and how he had made such a mess of their life together. He turned around to where she would have lain if this had been their bed back in Wellington Street, but this single bed, with its mattress sagging in the middle, bowed and broken by maybe decades of other tenants, rolling, farting, fucking bodies, was all there was to cheer him. "I'm sorry, Ellie," he whispered. He lay down and pulled the covers back over him, and he felt a small ebb of relief as the volume of the music sank a little. Not much, and it would only likely last until their next favourite guitar solo came along, but it was something, and with a bit of luck it would be enough for his wax earplugs to block out what remained. With a plaintive groan, he resettled his earplugs back into his ears and closed his eyes.
"Sleep," he told himself. "Just go to sleep."
At first, there was only blissful darkness, but then images began to flicker in the theatre of his dreams, and the memory of the nightmare began to seep back to him, reconstructing itself despite his attempts to push it away. Again he found himself naked, his hands on Lucy's bare hips, fucking her from behind. Again he found his hand reaching out for her hair where it flowed over her back, to take it, to pull on it like the reins of a horse, and then it coming away in his hands, a wig, and beneath it the shaven head of a man, turning now to reveal the face of Adam, of Brian McBride, contorting with the pleasure of Wayne's continued humping. But as he looks around at Wayne, McBride's eyes turn black like the lenses of the sunglasses he used to wear, and with a smile he asks,
"Are you the one?"
Wayne's eyes sprang open, his thumping pulse loud in his ears thanks to the earplugs. He sighed and put a hand over his face.
"Fucking typical," he muttered. "This is what I get for lying about having nightmares about the bastard. Actual nightmares about the bastard."
What did it mean? Why was he shagging Adam? He certainly hadn't enjoyed the revelation, so at least his subconscious wasn't sending him a news bulletin about repressed homosexual desires. But he had been happy enough when he thought it had been Lucy. And it was Lucy at first, he was sure of that. Lucy had turned into Adam. So did that mean that some part of his mind thought that Lucy was Adam? That was insane. But then, dream interpretation had never been Wayne's forte. In frustration at his bafflement, he thrashed his feet and threw himself onto his side.
"Fucking dreams," he thought. "Load of bollocks. Just go to sleep and try and dream of something else. Think of sheep jumping over a fence. No, that never works. Or what about rewinding? Yeah, that's boring as sin."
So he closed his eyes and imagined himself back into the video shop, where a pile of VHS tapes that had been returned unrewound awaited him. He sat down on a kickstool beside them, took the top one, put it into the VHS machine, and pressed rewind. Then he sat, just staring at the machine and listening to the whirring tape reels as they sped faster and faster back to their beginning. No customers, no Sandra, just the whirring drone of the rewind, going back, back, until he fell away into sleep. Sweet dreams, Wayne, for very soon your sweetest dream, that of a social drink with Lucy, will come true, and then she and we will learn all we need to know about the murderous Brian McBride and everything else that's been going on since then in the penultimate episode of Yule Among the Sleepless. The music you're listening to is Disturbance by Lost Dog.